Okay, in the old speech, the sound and the thing are the same. If you say tolk, which is the old speech word for rock, and you have magical powers, you can make a rock appear in your hand. And every person in Earthsea has a secret name that only some people know, a true name. And if you have that person's name, you can actually bring the person to you. You can summon them. You can turn yourself by changing your own name into a falcon or a dolphin or some other creature. These are the great powers of summoning and change for Le Guin. Now, why is this important? Because it's a very interesting view of language. This is language before the Tower of Babel, when there was only one language and when sounds related to things. And language then becomes a technology where words can change things. Now, I would assert that this is actually a very Western idea. Le Guin wants to say that she's a congenital un-Christian and all her ideas are Buddhist and Taoist. But actually, the idea that words can change things comes very clearly from medieval Christianity, with the idea that when a priest says, "This is my body, this is my blood," in the Catholic Church, the wine and the bread actually changes in what it is. It changes into real blood and real body. And I think that this figure of wizards is part of Le Guin's tradition, whether she was looking back to it or not. That's the tradition. Wizards are very closely related to medieval priests. They can change things with their words. Look at the other characteristics that Le Guin's wizards have. They're celibate. They live in all-male groups. They learn an esoteric language that they have to... I mean, there's a very close connection. So Le Guin says, oh, no, they're Buddhist, they're Taoist. Maybe later on they are, but they come out of her Western cultural tradition. And she would probably tell me I'm wrong. That's okay. So what Le Guin's first three books in Earthsea do is work out the problems associated with this idea if the word equals the thing. Because think about the problems that are generated if the word equals the thing. You can say something and it comes to you. There's problems of control, but there's also problems of identity. In the first book, The Wizard of Earthsea, which follows our protagonist, Ged, when he goes to the school for wizards, is very proud, but he doesn't know as much as other people, but he has so much power, and he eventually works himself up into summoning a spirit from the dead. And when he does this, part of the world rips apart, and an evil shadow creature leaps out from the land of the dead and attacks him. And this shadow, and it's a terrifying scene, by the way, beautifully written scene, but terrifying, that shadow is let loose in the world. In fact, let me just read a little bit of that scene so you can see, first of all, how Le Guin writes. Ged has been convinced that he's going to summon the spirit of a woman, Elfaran, who's from an ancient tale. So he's trying to bring her back from the dead so that they can see her spirit. The other boys stood watching, not speaking, not moving, unless they shivered a little, for the great spell was beginning to work. Ged's voice was soft still, but changed, with a deep singing in it, and the words he spoke were not known to them. He fell silent. Suddenly the wind rose roaring in the grass. Ged dropped to his knees and called out aloud. Then he fell forward as if to embrace the earth with his outstretched arms. And when he rose, he held something dark in his straining hands and arms, something so heavy that he shook with effort getting to his feet. The hot wind whined in the black, tossing grasses on the hill. If the stars shone now, none saw them. The words of the enchantment hissed and mumbled on Ged's lips. And then he cried out aloud and clearly, "Elfaran!" Again he cried the name, "Elfaran!" The shapeless mass of darkness he had lifted split apart. It sundered, and a pale spindle of light gleamed between his open arms, a faint oval reaching from the ground up to the height of his raised hands. In the oval of light for a moment there moved a form, a human shape, a tall woman looking back over her shoulder. Her face was beautiful and sorrowful and full of fear.